The title of today's message can be one of two. I'll explain that shortly, but take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter 16. As you know, we have been in 1 Peter for quite a while, but today I'm going to take a detour, go to the book of Acts chapter 16, but the title is The Damsel, The Dungeon, and The Deliverance. And would you please stand as we begin reading at Acts 16 and verse 9. Acts 16 and verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course. Down to verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we realize that for the cause of Christ, many good men and women have suffered. Some have even been martyred. Lord, we pray that your hand would be upon us this day, not knowing our futures. But Lord, may we be strong in our faith. May we desire to serve you faithfully no matter what comes our way. Please, Lord, give us strength. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Donald Smith of Martinsburg, West Virginia, commented on Acts 16, calling it the damsel, the dungeon, the deliverance. While Pamela Toshney of Henderson, Nevada, remarked about it as, "How is your money? How is your mouth? And how is your morals?" Introduction. We find here in Acts 16 the infamous Macedonian call. Paul was wanting to go to Bithynia, which was in northern Turkey, but he had a vision of a man calling him to come to Macedonia, which is in eastern Greece. Let me ask you a question. What if Paul had taken the gospel east to the Orient? to Asia? What if he had gone east instead of to Europe? So many things would be different in our world today. He had a calling. There in the bulletin, you see that Stetson Plank has been called back to Italy. He had served a couple of terms there in the country of Italy and was asked to come and take a church in Rhode Island for a period of time, in which he did. And we got the phone call this past week and asked that we consider taking him back on. He sent us a 3-minute video. I believe it was 3 minutes, Pastor Stephen. And in it, he had some of his church members saying, "Please come back." And so he and his wife, Sandy, and their 2 children are going back to Italy. We find that Paul, Luke, and Silas came to a city called Philippi, where on the Sabbath they met a lady named Lydia, who was converted to Christianity, and some say she was the first European convert. Maybe you're related to her. Point number 1, the damsel, or the money. Verse 16 says, brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. I had to practice that word, soothsaying. It doesn't come easily off my tongue. But brought her much gain. She was possessed by an evil spirit. Many today are possessed by evil spirits or influenced by them. Now, if you're a born-again believer, you cannot be possessed by one, but you can be influenced by one. And I don't want to sound flippant as you take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, but there may be someone right now in this auditorium that you are being influenced by an evil spirit. See, an evil spirit does not want you to pay attention to what the pastor is saying. An evil spirit does not want you to be interested in the Word of God. An evil spirit will try to direct you another way and try to confuse you. And there could be some right now, and you say, well, do you believe that evil spirits are inside the Covenant Baptist Church? What do you think? I think someone said absolutely, absolutely true. Right now, within our building, there are evil spirits. And I'm going to tell you this, that your pastor, he is attacked even right now by evil spirits. That's why you need to pray for your pastor. I do hope you prayed for me at least once in the last 24 days. But let's read what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Dr. Mark mentioned there in the book of Leviticus how God hates certain things, and some were even worthy of death. Notice it says there in verse 9 of Deuteronomy 18. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. See, some people will say, well, why did Israel go in and cast out these nations that were there? Number 1, they made their children to pass through the fire, and God hated that sin. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Right off the bat, don't do this. Don't do this. Amen. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a what? Witch. There are no good witches. I don't care what they may have on television. God said, you're not to deal with witches. Amen. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Some of these words, Pastor Paul, in heaven you'll have a new tongue. For all those do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations, which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do or to do. Back again, if you would, to the book of Acts. God wants us to be different. Some would say, well, we need to be tolerant. It's awful hard for good to be tolerant with bad. I have used this illustration before, and I'll use it today. I do not want peas in my can of green beans. Okay? Peas are to be meant here, in this can. I buy peas for my wife. Do I eat them? No. I'm not going to be tolerant about it. God says, I will not be tolerant of the sinner that sins, because I hate sin. Now you say, well, does he forgive? You better be thankful that he forgives. You ought to be thankful that he has forgiven us of our sins, but he doesn't like it when we continue to sin. We find in verse 17, she knew who these men were. They were people that had the message of salvation. As it says there at the end of verse 17, which show unto us the way of salvation. She brought much money to her masters. Money. May I say this with love and compassion and with a desire for your spiritual well-being? Do we understand where I'm coming from right now? Do you understand that I'm coming to you in a spirit of love and compassion and a desire for your spiritual well-being? Okay? Are you ready? Note, you cannot be right with God until you are right with your money. You cannot be right with God. Malachi, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, will a man rob God? Now, listen, don't get angry at Pastor Paul because he's reading this, okay? All I'm doing is reading to you what the Word of God has to say. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Wow, I'm glad that's over, Brother Wetke. Jesus said, oh, well, I'm going to get right back into it. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet or distribute withal, it shall be measured to you again. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. The other day, I bought a bag of kettle chips. Can I hear an amen? You know what kettle chips are? G-O-O-D. And I put the bag in my basket, and I'm thinking it's only half full. Why is it only half full? It settles. God says, you give to me, and I'll fill it up. And I'll shake it down. And I'll fill it up again. And I'll shake it down. And I'll fill it up again. Give, he says. Now, don't get angry at Pastor Paul. At least not about that. There are probably other things you can. Some of you like peas. Again, Jesus said, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth, but rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Luke chapter 12, verses 15, 31, and 34. She was healed, and he came out the same hour. Some here today are being influenced by demonic thoughts and practices. We pray for your healing. We need to thrust off that which is evil, the wrong thinking in our lives. Number two, the dungeon or the mouth. Has your mouth ever gotten you into trouble? Only three of us, four of us, five of us, six of us, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. All right, we're doing well now. Can I tell you this? My mouth has gotten me into trouble a number of times. In fact, I am surprised that Donna just don't say anything. She says, Pastor, she tells me sometimes, why do you tell them that? Because I want you to know that I'm a sinful person, okay? And he's still working on me. You know what I mean? Amen. But I am surprised that I haven't been pulled over and had the tar beaten out of me of some things I've said to someone driving down the road. Because I have told some drivers where I think they got their driver's license. Yeah. Now, some of you, you're so kind and laid back, and you just roll with the punches, and I just think you just irritate the dickens out of me. You know what my wife says to me? After I have given one of my personal opinions, she now says, go witness to them. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, isn't it sad that they were not glad at her spiritual release? Does that bother you? That they weren't excited that she was no longer possessed by this devil. All they were bothered by was that the source of their money had been removed. What did Paul tell Timothy about money? That the love of money is the root of all evil. We note in verse 19 that these men caught Paul and Silas and took them to the rulers of the city because they were Jews. Luke was not a Jew. He was there, but they took the Jews, Paul and Silas, and they took them and they said, they trouble our city. I wish that the Covenant Baptist Church troubled Sterling Heights. Amen. Amen. I wish we did. I wish that we troubled Utica and Shelby Township and Troy and Clinton Township and Macomb. I wish we did. We don't. No. Our problem is we trouble fellow Christians because we want them to stand up for the cause of Christ. But they trouble here, this area, because of what they are teaching. Can I say this, that the beliefs of today are different from the beliefs of our founding fathers? That the Word of God that once was so important to our founding fathers is in many cases totally ignored. Can I ask you a question? Where does President Biden go to church? Do you know? I don't know what religion is. I think we need to know. He's Catholic? I hope he's in church. But we need to have political leaders who believe the Word of God. Amen. What have they done wrong to receive the beatings? They had released someone from demonic control. Do you know that in the state of California, it's against the law to try to take someone out of a homosexual lifestyle? Did you know that? Do you know it's against the law in California to try to take someone who thinks they're a boy when they're born a girl and help them with gender confusion? You say that's California. What starts in California works its way across our nation. The fact is this, we have people who have forgotten where we have come from. Our country is in spiritual bondage. The bondage of immorality, of entertainment, drug and alcohol abuse, the love of money, evolution, abortion. With a new administration, the abortion tills will once again be full. Number three, the deliverance or morals. Let's begin reading at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Amen. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Can I say this? Actions speak louder than words. Paul and Silas prayed. Can I say this to you? Pray for America. Pray for gospel preaching churches. Pray for pastors, evangelists, missionaries. Pray for your children and your grandchildren. Your grandchildren and your children are the possessions that the devil wants, that our society wants to warp. Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, probably from the book of Psalms. Now, if we read into what the story says, it was after the Philippian jailer came to Christ that he washed them. In other words, as they were there praying and singing, they were still covered in the blood that they had shed from the beating. They had a prayer meeting at midnight, and God moved. I think it's great when God moves. Amen. And there was an earthquake. And men were moved. They did not run away when the gates were opened. And the jailer calls out for salvation. Can I ask you this? If someone came to you and said, what must I do to be saved? Could you tell them? Would you be able to share your faith? I hope so. What must I do to be saved? What an important question that is. We see their conversion. We see them being baptized. How important it is that we do that which is godly. In conclusion, are you right with God concerning your money? Let me share a testimony with you. My wife and I have, because we were taught, have tithed from the very first Sunday in our marriage. From the very first Sunday. I don't say that to brag on me or to brag on my wife. But God has blessed us through the years. I'm sometimes flabbergasted with what He has got allowed us to have. And I'll be honest with you. I look forward to the day when I am in heaven and someone is able to come up and say, you gave to missions, and a missionary came and told me about Christ, and that's why I know Christ as my Savior, and that's why I'm here. You know, when we sing the song, what a day that will be when our Jesus I shall see. And He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. And I'm wondering as we are taken through that city, and the Lord is leading us and showing us if people will come out of their mansions and say, hi, it's because of you. Won't that be nice? That someone will tell you thank you. Now, you're going to tell someone else thank you, right? And someone's going to say thank you to you. Question, are you morally right with God? But most importantly, are you spiritually right with God? Have you been born again? And have you been baptized by immersion? Are you doing what the Lord would have us do? Deliverance. Isn't it nice to be delivered from a bad situation? You know what the bad situation is in everyone's life? Is that they deserve hell. Right? Because of sin, you deserve hell. And without deliverance, you will spend eternity in hell. And when we can share that gospel message with someone else, that's a privilege. It's a privilege. I hope that you are right with the Lord. Can I tell you this? Our spiritual enemy doesn't want us to be right with God. Shall we stand together? A song of invitation, 401, Only Trust Him, will be sung today. You can come and pray here at the altar or pray on the front pew. Or even sit and pray where you're at. But the most important thing you need to do right now is not worry about what you're going to have to eat in a little bit. The most important thing right now is not to worry if is it going to rain or snow later on. The most important thing right now is to make sure that you are right with God. Right now. That you were right with Him. Only trust Him. Dear Heavenly Father, asking at this time that Your blessings would be shown, that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts. Lord, we ask that right now You would give us deliverance. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.